Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Result, you can remove all the debt that you've accumulated. We teach these biblical principles in our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. This study can be done either at your parish, you can invite your family and friends to join us in your home, or you can do the study live online that is now available. Take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way simply by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today, the co-founder of Compass Catholic Ministries, John Bean. So John, today, let's address the 20-somethings that are listening, or maybe the parents of the 20-somethings that are listening, and they can share this information with their child. The topic is, how do you manage your money when you're in your 20s?
Basically, what I'm thinking about, Steve, is that we've got a lot of kids that have just graduated in the last month or so, and they're going to be starting new jobs, hopefully.
Yes.
How are they going to be able to manage their money over the next 4 or 5 or 10 years? You know, it's a whole new ballgame for them.
Yeah, the responsibility is now on them.
Right, right.
Mom and dad should not be there to bail them out each and every time.
The important thing is that, you know, they're not in college anymore, so they've got a new lifestyle, and they're probably going to have increased living expenses based on this new lifestyle.
Yes.
You know, they've got this job, so now they can't go into work probably wearing torn-up jeans and dirty T-shirts, flip-flops.
Right.
You know, so they're going to have to buy some clothes. They may feel like they need to upgrade their automobile or even maybe get one. You know, there are a lot of kids that graduate from school that still haven't got a car yet.
Within reason.
If you got a car, I don't think you need to upgrade it. I would push not to do that.
Yeah, in fact, that is one of the items that when we meet somebody that's fairly new out of the college, and they first thing they want to do is upgrade to a new car.
Sure.
They have the word new car, and we say, well, what are you looking at? And it's one of those cars where you're going, you know, let's wait 10 years.
Yeah.
Let's get a job first, put away some money, save, and there's nothing wrong with a late model used car.
Absolutely.
I said, all you want to do is get from point A to point B, home to work, and you know, and stuff on the weekends, but you're not going to be traveling across country in this thing every week.
So they've got this new lifestyle, and they want to live the new lifestyle. And I think the thing that they should really be doing is to continue to live like they're a broke college student, okay? Because it's time to start setting things in place. And that's going to take some money. And, you know, you haven't been living on a budget probably, and you've had such a tight clamp down on your wallet that now you've got a salary and you think you can just spend whatever you want to spend.
No, it's that newfound freedom. You don't have to worry about homework at night any longer. And it's like there's no limits. I mean, I'm just going through what my thought process was right after the day after I graduated from college. I had a job, and savings was not on that list.
Right, exactly. One of the things that I would suggest, and I know the parents out there are going to cringe And probably most of the new grads are going to cringe too. But I would say move back home. It's going to accomplish a couple of things if you do that. First of all, you're not going to be in the minority. About 85% of the students who have just graduated from college end up moving back home for at least a little while, for a temporary basis.
Right. This is not long term. You're talking
temporary.
No, I'm
not talking about long term.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, it could be 3 months or 6 months or something like that. Time to get yourself adjusted. Time to start sorting out the bills that you're going to have to pay. You know, setting up retirement savings, and you're thinking, wait a minute, I just graduated from college. What are you talking about retirement? Well, that's an important thing, and the earlier you start, the easier it's going to be. And, you know, another thing that is important is to go ahead and get started paying back that any college loans that you encountered or you assumed while you were in college right away. Most of the people who give you a college loan will give you a grace period of 6 months.
Okay.
And you think, oh, boy, that's really nice of them. Well, it's nice and it's not so nice because they're adding interest onto everything that you've borrowed. And it's going to make it just that much harder to make those payments. So, I know some people that have had delays in paying their college loans for up to 5 or 6 or 7 years. That's not a good thing because you're just piling up more and more debt.
Right.
Go ahead right away, bite the bullet, and set up your checking account to make an automatic payment every single month so you don't have to touch it. It just happens as soon as you start working. I think that's really important because you want to eliminate as much debt as possible. Now, I'm not saying make a rush to get it all paid off in the next 12 months, okay, because there's a lot of other things that you've got to account for. And the interest rates on those college loans aren't that high that, you know, it won't hurt you that much to go ahead and just pay the minimum payments.
Hey, John, your thoughts, if someone does not want to move back home soon after graduation, your thoughts on taking in a roommate?
I have no qualms about that at all. I think the lower that you can keep that cash outflow, the better off you're going to be, at least in the short term. You know, down the road, you're going to be thinking maybe about getting married or whatever. Then things change, okay? But immediately, just like I said, continue to live like a broke college student. Share the expenses of your apartment if you're in an apartment or move at home. Create a budget. Once you've got a job, create a budget.
No, I think that there are two excellent points. Live as if you're broke and creating a budget, because I'm now thinking of individuals that graduate and get a job out of town. Just be sensible on whatever you're going to rent. But creating a budget and sticking to that budget will help you tremendously. Short term, especially long term, you won't be digging yourself deeper and deeper into a hole.
Well, and the other thing about having a budget is you're tracking your expenses so you know where your money's going. And that's just so important. Now, the next thing that you want to be aware of is limiting your credit card debt. Now that you've got a salary and, you know, you're used to spending, the young people today do almost all of their financial transactions by debit card or, in some cases, credit cards. They do it all electronic. They'll do it with their phone. They're not in the habit of writing checks. They're not in the habit of paying cash. Most of them, you know, don't have any cash that they carry around with them as a general rule. It's really easy because you think, well, I got all this money coming in. I don't have to be quite so concerned. You know, that credit card debt can really ruin you in the first 6 months that you're out there on the job.
And John, the one thing too, there is an app that I know a lot of young people, a lot of people are using it, maybe not just young, but a lot of people are using Venmo, where you go out with some friends and rather than say, John, I owe you $10 for this lunch, they just go to the app and transfer the money instantly right into your Venmo account. And then you can put it into your bank account. That's great. As long as you write down that expense that you did that and go, so you're balancing your debit card is okay, your checking account, whatever you're withdrawing that money from.
Now, spell that out, so because I'm not even sure the word that you said there.
Venmo. I think it's a V-I-M-E-O.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay, okay. Just so that people, if they're not familiar, they can look it up.
Yes.
And
it's a very easy app. It's secure. I use it a number of times.
Well, the other thing about doing everything electronically is that you can download or upload, however you want to phrase it, from your debit card or your credit card directly into whatever software you're using to keep your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a process. It takes like 30 seconds. So you should do it every 3 or 4 days so you have a total understanding of where you are financially. I can't tell you how many people that Evelyn and I have worked with, we've coached on their money, and they're using their debit card, and there's no money in the account. So they go to McDonald's, they buy a $6 hamburger, they use their debit card, and there's no money there.
Because they are not aware?
They're not paying any attention.
Okay.
So now that $6 hamburger and fries and a Coke now cost them $41.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say.
You know, you got a $35 NSF charge on top of that. And it's really easy, if you don't pay attention, to end up spending $800 or $900 or $1,000 or even more every month on bank fees, you know, NSF charges.
No, we have brought a number of people to banks to discuss these charges. And I'm not saying that every bank is cold-hearted, but should you have one of these charges, just go and experience that. Because they look at you like, not my fault.
Yeah.
You spent it. We didn't.
Yeah. And it's not their fault. I mean,
it's
you
just the outrageous fee. That's what
yeah.
burns my, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you've got credit card debt that you accumulated while you were in college, I want you to really start to try and get that paid off right away. Focus on that. Take the smallest card, the card that has the smallest balance on it, and work to get that paid off just as quick as possible. If you got some money that you got from graduation for gifts and stuff like that, put it towards that debt. Get that debt paid off and move on to the next one. On your credit card debt, as opposed to your school loans, on your credit card debt, pay it off just as quick as you can. It's just so important to get out of that debt crunch. You know, if you've got credit card debt, or for that matter, you know, if you have to go out and buy a car, and hopefully you'll buy the cheapest possible car that you can get that meets your needs, okay? Just put those student loans on autopilot. Set it up, like I said,
yes.
to get paid right out of your bank account every month, so you don't worry about tracking that debt or anything. It's like clockwork. Boom, boom, boom. It gets paid off, and then you're in good shape.
Yeah, back to the car. Just remember, the first car you buy will not be the last car that you purchase. So it's okay to buy something used, even if it's 10 years old, as long as it gets you to work for the first couple of years without nickel and diming you to death. That's okay.
Yeah, that, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of places that you can go. Offlease.com, I mm-hmm. think, is one. If you just shop some of the used cars lots, the dealer lots, I would be careful about going to
the one on the back road.
Yeah.
Where they have four cars.
Or if you got to get a car, put the word out. Okay. Tell your mom and dad, oh, I need to get a car. Do you know anybody that might be selling their car?
They're friends.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Living in Florida, we have a large retirement community near here, and they say that's probably the best place to look for a used car, retirement community. Those people every 5 years will trade it in, low mileage.
Yes, yeah. So it's a good way to go.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Learn how we can help you remove all of your debt, no matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be. You can find more information how we can help by going to compasscatholic.org. John Bean, who was the co-founder of Compass Catholic Ministries, is joining me today, and we are discussing how do you manage your money when you're in your 20s. And John, I see on your list, and the next point you're about to make, is something that we stress over and over and over in our 9-week small group study.
One of the most important things that we can do is establish an emergency fund. You need that cushion. people who've been in the workforce for several years, we're going to tell them, start out with a minimum of $1,000, get it to $3,000 immediately, you know, and move.
Right.
Not so much for if you just graduated from college.
You read my mind, because that was a question I was going to ask, because I know what we do in our 9-week Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. So what do you do? You're fresh out of college, and you may not be making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? I mean, how do you adjust those numbers to start saving?
You know, I adjust it down. I would try to shoot for $500. You know, that's still a goodly amount of money if you don't have any money saved up, and it will help offset anything. You know, you go buy that used car, and immediately you got to put tires on it or something like that, or you've got some expense that you didn't count on. That's going to help offset that amount.
But, John, the $500 is not something you expect them to have in the first month, 3 months. I mean, is there a reasonable time limit?
Yeah, I would hope that they could accumulate $500 in 6 months.
Okay.
And then once you get to $500, then you want to start pushing to get towards $1,000, okay? You always want to push to keep increasing that just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. You reach, you know, set a new goal, reach that, set another goal, and then get to that and set another goal. Because ultimately, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, you want to get to a minimum of 3 months worth of income as your emergency fund.
Right.
And then once you reach that, the next objective would be 6 months. You know, we're talking down the road, though. That's maybe 5 years or 8 years or whatever. If you start it right away and start saving and you make that habit, make it a practice, then you're going to be okay. It'll be a lot easier than waiting for 6 months or a year to try to start that.
You know, and the big way to do that is look at your expenses, because you are now creating a spending plan. Just look at the expenses and you're tracking your spending. Where can you cut a couple of dollars a day out of your budget? In fact, I read an article today where the big coffee house has raised the price of coffee and people are not happy, and it a considerable amount of money. And there's an article, now I'll send it to you, John. It shows what the cup of this coffee will cost you, and it's also showing what they actually pay for the cup of coffee.
Oh, I'm sure there's a drastic difference.
They're making money on you.
300% or 400% profit,
yes,
I would imagine.
I was surprised.
I know how much it'll cost me. Nothing. Because I'm not going to buy that cup of coffee. Another thing that you need to pay attention to after your emergency fund is make sure that you are insured. Up until this point, you probably haven't had to worry about insurance, except maybe on a car. If you had a car, you've probably been paying your auto insurance. But now you've got other things to worry about. Now that you've graduated from college, you're probably not going to be on your parents' health insurance. So that's one thing. You've got a job. So the job is probably going to offer you some type of health insurance. You have to have health insurance. Bite the bullet and sign up for it, whatever it is. If you're living in an apartment, you really should have rental insurance.
And that's very inexpensive.
It is. It's probably, you know, less than $100 every 6 months.
Yes.
But you never know what's going to happen. Somebody can break into your apartment. Maybe there's a fire, you know, whatever. It's a way to keep you from having to spend a bunch of money in the case of some kind of a catastrophe that happens.
Especially with the technology that a lot of us have nowadays, that it's worth the less than $100 every 6 months just for peace of mind. Because I don't think you want to go out and buy a new TV or you want to buy a new smartphone because somebody stole it.
Right, right. Disability insurance is something else you need to look at. Now, again, that's probably going to be offered by your employer, and that's a good thing to have. And it's pennies every month, maybe $5, $10, $15, something like that on a monthly basis. And so especially if you're in a job where you're not sitting behind a desk, you're out in the field, you're working, you're doing stuff, I would definitely recommend getting some kind of disability insurance so that if you do get hurt, God forbid, and you are laid off of work for 3 months or 6 months while you're recovering, you're still going to receive at least a portion of your paycheck.
No, but it's around 70%.
Yeah, yeah. That's really important. And the other thing, and maybe not immediately, another thing that you want to look at is life insurance. Now, you're single, you're by yourself, nobody's depending on your income. I don't think you need life insurance.
Right.
I'll be right up front with you. I wouldn't spend the money. But once you get married, then somebody is depending on your income.
Especially if you buy a home.
Yes, yes. So at that point in time, life insurance is mandatory. And we're not talking about $10,000 or $15,000. If you buy a house with your new wife or spouse, okay, you should at a minimum cover what the payoff on the house is.
Yes.
And then once children start occurring, then the numbers go even higher.
Just like rental insurance, young life insurance is extremely inexpensive. John, to question, because they are going to get a lot of mail from insurance companies trying to sell them term whole life. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, do I need whole life?
No. No.
Because it's more expensive. That's not the reason you don't need it, but...
You need life insurance.
Right.
And all the insurance agents out there are going to come after me, I know. But any insurance that combines the insurance with any kind of a savings is too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy term insurance and just do normal investing and come out way ahead of having an insurance policy that's going to accumulate cash in any fashion. Okay, and I know the products have changed drastically in the last 30 years. They're much better than they used to be, but better is relative. And the cheapest insurance that you can buy is term insurance. Buy it over a period of a number of years, so it's level, maybe 20-year, you know, level term, or even maybe 30-year level term. And that's going to take you out of ways. It'll be the same price, and you're buying it at that young age. You're
right.
In your 20s now, so the cost is going to be very low.
Yeah, that's what Audrey and I had was a 25-year decreasing term because we thought by the end of the 25 years, both of our boys would be out of college on their own, and hopefully if we've saved enough looking forward to retirement that we wouldn't need any kind of payoff should something happen to
right.
me. Also, if something should happen to me, I'm not going to be around anyhow, so... That's why I tell Audrey, hey, I don't care. I'm not going to be here. And I can't take it with me. But John, I love what you have for number 8 is making long-term goals. This is so important.
Yes, it is extremely important because you need to, I'll call it document what your idea of success is. And everybody's ideas are different. So, depending on what your job is and what you want to be doing, maybe you've got a job right now, but it's only a temporary job because you've got designs on doing something else, maybe going to grad school or something. But, you know, what is going to be success? And you need to establish what that success is over a number of variable amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
So you would do it after year one. You know, what do I want to accomplish this year, my first year out of college? And then you want to look at, well, where do I want to be in 3 years? And then where do I want to be in 5 years and 10 years, maybe even 15 years? I think that if you don't have some type of a plan, well, it's unlikely that you're going to meet your goals. You know, I've got them in my head. Well, that's not good enough. You need to write them down, put them on paper so you can visualize them. Just having them in your head doesn't really typically do you any good.
And the one thing, too, that I want to point out is you get out of college, more than likely you're not already married, but you will meet, if not if you haven't met someone already. But it's great to share your goals with your intended and for her or he to share their goals with you.
Yes.
You want to make sure you're on the same page.
Yes.
Because if their goal is to be living in, let's say, Europe in the next 5 years, and you have no urge at all to be living in Europe, you know, that could create a problem. But what you found in writing your book, God, Marriage, and Money, they don't talk about stuff like this.
No,
do
they don't. They don't talk about money at all.
They find out about that stuff once they say "I do," and they're home from the honeymoon. And she says, "I'm thinking about we should be living in Europe."
Yeah, talking about money and on a date is like the most unromantic thing you could think of.
No, but sharing your goals with the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with is so, so important.
And you should starting to save for retirement. Now, we touched on that just a minute ago. If your employer offers a 401k plan or some type of retirement plan, jump on it. Mm-hmm. And jump on it with both feet, especially if they're going to match any amount of money that you spend, that you put into the account. Then you should put in a minimum of the full amount that they're going to match. And start now, right now, because you could start now and save $100 or $200 a month, and that's all you'll ever have to save, you know, every month until you retire. So I think that's really important. Try to use a Roth if that's available to you. Even if it's not available through your employer, you can start a Roth. That's after-tax dollars, and so that'll be important once you're retired. It doesn't make that much difference right now. And then the last thing that we would suggest is make sure that you monitor your investments. A lot of people will, you know, they'll go out and they'll buy individual stocks, or they'll do this or that, and they don't pay attention to how the money's invested, and they could end up with all their money being in one sector of the market. And when that happens, you know, you can get in trouble if the market really takes a tumble. So if you're balanced, then when the market tumbles, and it's going to happen, trust me, it's going to happen, you're better situated with a balanced account. And you want to make sure that you're tracking all the fees so that you're not paying too much for what your investments are.
In case you missed any of today's show, we made the summary available for you. Go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down, and click on podcast summary. And before we get out of here, let's answer an email that we received. In fact, Evelyn was able to be here when this email came in, so she's going to participate in this answer. So, John and Evelyn, I am debt-free except for my mortgage, which I should pay off in about 4 years. However, I anticipate selling the house before then. I recently received $2,500, and I'm wondering if I should pay down the mortgage with that money or invest it in home upgrades such as central air, replacing a damaged sidewalk, a couple of things to make the house more appealing.
If you're thinking about selling your house, it's important to interview a real estate broker. So I would use this as an opportunity to find a capable real estate broker, talk to three of them, and get their input on what needs to be done in order to sell your home and get the best price possible. Sometimes these home improvements more than pay for themselves, and sometimes they don't. So having a pro give you advice would be a valuable thing to do at this point.
Evelyn, once again, thank you so much. If you have a financial challenge in your life, or maybe you have some financial questions that you would like some advice from John and Evelyn, by all means, email your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. We post a new podcast each and every Wednesday. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.